earlier this week in his soft voice, and then, wow, got my attention. Good job. Good job. Appreciate the good prayer. We've had good prayers all week, beginning Sunday morning and Sunday night and last night and tonight. It's always great when we can talk to God and when we can sing praises to Him. And hopefully we can benefit from the few minutes that we will spend together here in the teaching of God's Word. I told Mike there wasn't a reading, but there kind of is. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the manner of life of the wives, while they behold your chaste or pure manner of life coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. In which of those two categories do you belong? The outward adorner or the inward adorner? And like I said, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell, does it? To see whether I'm trying to impress you with the outward adorning or the inward adorning. What does God think is beautiful? It's the inward man, isn't it? The inward man that we need to dress up and take care of. And as we said last night, if we do that, then the outward adorning will be what it ought to be. So tonight, as we begin our lesson, this goes both for male and female, we want to talk about dressing the inner man. Sometimes you get a rash, and let's get some cream and rub on it. Well, that's a symptom of a problem, isn't it? But a doctor tell you need to get to the source of the problem. And so tonight, I think by dressing the inner man, as we said, we will take care of the dressing of the outer man. Obviously, this was a problem in the first century. We're not the only ones that have had the problem. That's the reason that the Lord had the inspired writers to tell us about how we are to dress. Some people want, where's the line? Where does it start? Where does it say? If we had the time, we'd show you the line. And I have a lesson that talks about the outward adornment, and that God does show us the line. But it's not where a lot of people, and even Christians, are drawing the line today. So tonight we want to talk about dressing the inner man. Why? Because the world appeals to the flesh, doesn't it? Everywhere you look. And you probably could think of some other places. Commercials on television usually sell their product usually by sex, don't they? They know how to get attention. Car commercials, clothing, gum, beer commercials, vacation, and I just could have just kept on going with that list. Movies. What does the R stand for? Rotten, doesn't it? That's how we ought to look at it. And you know Christians aren't the ones who are rating them, are they? Sometimes even these PG movies, my goodness, look who's rating them. We have to be careful. The little song says, little eyes, what you see, little ears, what you hear. Did you know once it's implanted here, it doesn't go away? It doesn't go away. And it's going to stay there. What's in your wallet is the commercial on TV. What's in your closet? Sometimes have things hidden. People coming out of the closet today. What's in your closet? Did you know God knows? Yes, he does. Live and in color. Magazine covers. We mentioned the other night about Walmart, walking down where the clerks and the books are sold. What do they put on the covers? Have to direct your eyes the other way, don't you? Guys? We have to be careful what we see. And sometimes we're going to see things we don't want to see, but we don't have to linger. If David, upon the rooftop of his palace, if when he had seen Bathsheba, if he'd have just turned around and walked right back in. But he didn't. He stayed. Who is that girl? Why? Didn't matter who it was. He wanted to have her. And that's what you'll do. He had eyes full of adultery, Peter tells us. Billboard signs on the highway. You think, oh, I can get out and take a drive and get away from it. Prom dresses, when the prom nears. I think I told you the other night, a 30-foot wide billboard with 8 or 9 young girls on it with nothing above here. And you want your daughter to go to the prom dressed like that. Well, one mother said, well, it comes to the ground. That's not what I'm talking about. Advertisers know how to get your attention. Even by the colors. Cereal is sold by color boxes to display. And they pay great money to get their packages, their boxes, or their magazines, whatever, at eye level. Did you know that? Yes, yes, you did. Not all our battles deal with denominationalism and its error and its false teaching. We hinted at Sunday. But all battles are not just one-sided, are they? We need to preach the whole counsel of God. To be warned, to be forewarned. My 7th, 8th grade science teacher tell us on Tuesday or Monday that you're going to have a test Friday, and she'd always follow it with, to be forewarned is forearmed. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. But another battle is keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. We tried that tonight at Buffalo's. Try to keep you from getting some of that. Well, anyway, you have to be careful, don't you? Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Does the Bible tell us anything about that? Sure does. Seeing it with your eyes and hearing it with your ears, what Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Sometimes I get Judy wash and iron a shirt, and I put it in the closet, and comes out, it's got a wrinkle on it. Well, she re-irons it. She doesn't want me to go out there with a wrinkle or a spot. You get a spot on your dress or your shirt, well, I'll just wear it anyway. No, you won't. You want to be presentable, don't you? You don't want spaghetti stains all over you. You'll go to the trouble to change to keep from being unspotted, and that's how the Lord wants the church. And that includes me. That includes you. A spot or wrinkle or what? Any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. How am I doing in that great work? Am I the weak link in the chain? Am I a spot or am I a wrinkle or am I any such thing? I need to work hard on it, don't I? James 1 and verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Do you remember this is before whom you are living? You're the one on stage. God is the audience. And he's viewing you right now in living color, up close and personal. He knows more about you than you know about you. Pure religion and undefiled, unspotted, unwrinkled. Before God and the Father is this, to visit. You know what that means? You do it. Our liberal brethren found a way that they didn't have to do it. the sponsoring church arrangement, or the orphan homes. We build the orphan homes, and somebody else will take care of my work. No, I can't do that work by proxy, having somebody else go. As we say here, let somebody else do it. Oh, somebody else went to see her. Somebody else went to see him. No, if I want to keep myself pure in God's religion and undefiled, what do we say about idle hands? Whose workshop are they? If I'm too busy to be in the devil's camp, is that going to be good for me? But if I'm not busy, I'm going to be in the devil's camp. I'll be doing things and going places I shouldn't go. And I won't have time to do this visiting of the fatherless and the widows. Do you know that's good for me to go? Because I see somebody that's worse off than I. And every time Judy and I walk out of the hospital, we'll look at each other and one of us will say, aren't you glad we're walking out and not the one being visited? Some don't make it out, do they? Or they're there for long, great periods of time. And you know, you've been there, maybe been there yourself. But isn't it a blessing when you can get up and you can rise and walk out? Yes. Yes, it is. Don't let somebody else do your work. It won't work. I must keep myself pure and unspotted to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Are we getting the point? Or we have this I gave at the office type thing. Hey, I gave Sunday morning. That ought to be taken care of by that contribution. And this one right here, that's why we pay the preacher. Oh, he's supposed to do it. And that's what that verse says. Preacher, go and visit. No, every single one of us. And you know, if somebody is missing or somebody's having problems, what are they going to think if they get visits? They get calls, they get cards, encouraging letters. Then on the other hand, what are they going to think if they don't get anything? My mother used to call when we get home. The announcements were made. She's like Judy. She writes down the names of the people that aren't there. My mom would go home, and before she'd feed her teenage boys and starving. You guys know what it's like. If Dawn knows how hungry she is after that long-winded, loud-mouthed father of her gets through preaching. You know, that hungry. And we were sitting at the table with that roast and potatoes and carrots and oh my. And she's on the phone with somebody that wasn't there, getting a reason why they weren't there or an excuse. And if it was an excuse, they got preached a little sermon. Well, we let the kids stay up late last night watching the late show. Really? And I just couldn't get up. I didn't have the heart to get them up this morning. What are they teaching? Well, they got taught a lesson. Okay. Should we do that sort of thing? Maybe they won't do that again. Maybe that'll keep them from it being a habit. Like they said, before a car quits, it starts missing, doesn't it? And sometimes so do we. What influence can I have over the world, over my friends? If I live like the world, if they see me with an explosive temper, you know your neighbors know whether you do or not? Except John Melba's. They live kind of back up on the hill. Don Jan. But somebody knows, don't they? Don't they? They've seen it in you or not. Would that be good? Oh, that's just me, somebody said. Really? Well, they better get over that, hadn't they? They better pray and stop doing that. If they hear me using vulgar language. One congregation where we preached, he had three or four children and heard a couple of his boys using language that nobody should use. And I asked him, I said, do you ever swear? And he said, well, only to impress my wife. And I'm sure that impressed her, don't you? Aren't you? Walls have ears. His children heard him and was using the language of their father. Good influence? What do you think? If they know that I watch sinful things on television. The soap operas, what a misnomer. What do we use soap for? To wash off the filth, don't we? Well, you know why they were called soap operas. That's what advertised them back in the day. And people, it becomes part of their lives. John and Susie and somebody else, they're involved in, I can't miss another show. I can't miss another episode. I got it on tape and go home after church. And really? And that's good to put that in your mind? Or to tell somebody else that's what you do? Or if I'm filled with envy and jealousy, watch it, teenagers. I was in high school once. Had a girlfriend. She saw me talking to some other girl. It was about a homework assignment. Well, if that's the way you're going to be, really? Do you want to stay with somebody like that? Shake your head this way. If you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that's jealous, you don't get married to that, do you? You just drop kick them. Okay? You don't want to be married. You don't want to be hung up with somebody like that. If I'm a gossip or a liar. You know, Pinocchio, what grew on him when he told a lie? Didn't it? What if the listener to gossip's ears grew? Would Hacking style? Earmuffs? Or would we say, not gonna do it. Not gonna happen. In West Virginia, it was happening. We had a lady who was a continual gossip. I preached on gossip. And one of the members, the next time we met, said, I had to tell her. She called and was gonna give me some more. She said, I can't listen to this. I know better. And you should too. If I smoke and drink, as we talked about the other night, having somebody over for a Bible study, and excuse me while I light up. Here, you want something to drink? Have a can of beer while we study the Bible? Would you do that? Would that be encouraging to somebody? Encouraging them to do what? If I disobey my parents, if I steal at work or school, when mother couldn't understand why her son was stealing things at school and pens and pencils from the other students. And she said, I don't know why he does that because I bring plenty home from work. Really? See, Judy's dad used to say, if you can't be a good example, you can always be a bad one. If I dress immodestly. Why are we talking about that so much? Isn't that a summertime subject? How about getting your mind right in the winter? Walking into Walmart in New Martinsville, West Virginia, and one of our members' daughters was looking at skirts that were no longer there. She's 16, 17 years old. And I just kept getting closer and closer. She saw me and she walked away from the dress. Why would you look at that sort of stuff? She embarrassed. Her face got red. She didn't say boo, hello. Hey, Mo, how you doing? She tried to disappear, but it was too late. And I know if I saw her, who else saw her? See. Take care of the inner man. Are you salt and light? Well, who told us about that? I underlined the ye, you. You are the salt of the earth. You. Me? Me? Shake your head this way. Yes. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, not its savior, I've heard some read that. this fake salt, what do they call it? No salt. Yeah, okay. You can shake. And take the lid off and put the whole thing on it. And Craig and I like salt. And I think maybe a couple others. But if it's lost its ability to give the better taste, wherewith shall it, the earth, be salted? If we don't do our job, how are we going to help the world? Okay? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Jesus said about the tree who doesn't bear fruit, it's to be cut down and cast into the fire. Okay? Ye are the light. You are the salt and you are the light. Before I forget, did you ever put salt on tomato? Better enjoy these last tomatoes. Did you ever say, listen to that work? Not like snap, crackle, and pop. You don't hear salt work, do you? You are the light of the world. Oh, listen to that light work. No. They both work in silence, don't they? You miss them when they're not there, don't you? Good, faithful members. You all have had it happen. Sometimes they have to move. Some they go off to school. Some job takes them away. Oh, and you miss that salt and you miss that light, don't you? Sure you do. And that's the way it ought to be. You're the light of the world. A city is set on a hill. That is set on a hill cannot be hid. Hank Williams wrote a song about 100 years ago called I Saw the Light. At the Capitol building in Birmingham. Is that the Capitol? Somewhere. Montgomery, thank you. As they drove closer to home, at the top of the Capitol, there was a big light. And the first one to see it would say, I saw the light. And he took that phrase and wrote a song about it. Look it up, Google it, and read it. Pretty good song. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Have we not all, if you've been in the church long, sung that little song? Hide it under a bushel. What's the answer? No. Who wrote that song? Jesus did. The wise man built his house. Who wrote that song? You don't put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Did you know he's talking about you? You at school, you at work, you as a neighbor. Everywhere you go, you are the walking light. Yes, you are. Let your light so shine before men. And either underline it literally or mentally in your Bible. That tells us, I'm going to give you the reason why you do that. That they may see your good works. What did we say that word good meant the other day? Beautiful. Remember the apple that I talked about? That I want to take a bite of that 84-cent apple? It attracted me because it was beautiful. And so will you. That they may see. You do not do them, your good works, to be seen of men, but they will see them. If you do, you will be like the Pharisees that Jesus condemned in this same sermon. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not you, but Him needs to be glorified. And I do that how? By being the salt and the light that I ought to be. Peter says it this way. Similar language. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. That, here's the reason, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your beautiful works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When it comes their time, word, and you're the one teaching them, they're not thinking, well, that lousy, no good scumbag. Do you know what I saw him do the other day? Do you know what I heard about him? Nothing good. And now he's trying to tell me what to do. But if you've been the salt and the light, they may not like you, but they will have respect for you, which they shall observe. And that observation is with a magnifying glass. That's what that word is talking about. Sherlock Holmes, magnifying glass, looking, observing, up close and personal. They see you, don't they? Don't they? They see you, Rachel, Jonathan, Aaron. They see you at school. All of us, everywhere, which they observe. You think, oh, nobody knows me. Yes, they do. What kind of an example are you being? What are others observing in you? I'll tell you. See that? They're watching. And they may not tell you, I've been watching you. But they are. They sure are. I form opinion about parents by watching their children. Do you? You may not think you do, but look at this. How their children dress. Solomon said, children, obey your parents. Paul said it, Ephesians 6. Solomon said, you obey your mother and your father, forsake not the law of your mother. For if you do, they're like chains about your neck and a crown on your head. I blame the parents for some activities of the children. How they act with others. How children act. Sure do. Parents, you have responsibility, don't you? How they behave during worship. I've had to call a timeout a couple of times while I'm preaching because some have taken up the whole side by their activities. Talking, laughing, punching one another. Look over here, punching, and look over here what he's doing. And they think nobody behind them or beside them knows, sees, or that God is there. They forget where they are. If you had done that in worship, John, what would your dad done? Even while he's preaching. Whoa, yeah. Off comes the bell. He'd call a timeout, wouldn't he? You know what I love? Seeing children misbehaving and parents get up. Get that child's attention. A few times it's been on the front row. Parents come up and sit down. One time my dad called my brother down. Somebody, one of the other boys told him, you're in trouble. Oh, when he got home. I still remember that. But you observe these things, don't you? They're Bible knowledge. Children's Bible knowledge. Or lack thereof. How about manners? We mentioned that the other day. Is it so hard to say yes, sir? Or yes, ma'am? Doesn't that dress a child up? Sure does. It dresses you up too. That's so much better than huh? You get the idea? Friendliness to young and old. I'm an old man, but I still like friendly children. Yeah, sure do. Who take the time. We kid around a lot. And that's good. That's good. How you doing? We must keep busy doing good. If we're not busy doing good, you're going to fill your time with something else. How about studying? Giving all diligence. Praying, as we mentioned before, without ceasing, every opportunity. Little short prayers. Children, how about being thankful for godly parents who love you, who fed you? And I think of my folks and how many I wish I could tell them now. But you can't go to the grave, can you? You can dump a truckload of flowers on their graves, but thank God for them. Keep attending. You have hard days, you're tired, your dog tired. Yes, you do, don't you? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Wow. Be that good example. Be that salt and be that light. We must keep busy doing good, helping others. Not only pray for them, but help them. The weak spiritually. If you see someone who is falling, ye which are spiritual, Galatians 6:1. Restore that individual in the spirit of meekness. You don't come down with knees and elbows. No. You admonish, you encourage. Remember running in cross country and near the end of the race, I must have looked like death warmed over, but a couple of my buddies were running alongside in the grass off the track. Come on, you can do it. Did that help? You betcha. That's been years ago. And I still remember that encouragement. Wouldn't you? Sure you would. The weak physically, as we said, James 1. Visit. Do you know who is going to be blessed by that visit? You will be. You will be the one blessed. It's more blessed to give than receive by giving of your time. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a card. I was sick a couple of Sundays ago. Got some cards from members of the church. I'm just like a little kid. Junior, read it to me. Read it to me. Read it again. Sure, that's encouraging. Help the poor. What about Dorcas? What was she full of? Good works and alms deeds. John used to say, still does, which she did. You know, you hear the announcements. Somebody's sick. Somebody needs something. She just doesn't hear about it. She went and did something. It takes time, as we said earlier, to be holy, doesn't it? Help my enemies? Not in your lifetime. Wait a minute. What does 544 say? And who said it? John Doe? No, Jesus. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Excuse me. Is that a suggestion or a command? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The very next verse says that. What's the word that for? I'm going to show you the reason. That you may be the children of your Father. You don't do these things? Oh, but I got baptized. Big deal. That you may be. You know, God sends the rain on just us, does he? But on whom? The ungodly, doesn't he? Their crops grow. They receive the rain. They receive the blessings and the sunshine. Acts 7 and verse 60. What does Stephen say? J.R. Brunger, who preaches at Danville, many of you know him, was over, I've forgotten, some foreign country. Whole bunch of people gathered around, a lot of noise, and he said, asked a fella, one of the natives there, said, what's going on? Said, they're stoning a woman. I don't think he got to see it, but he knew it was going on. Not a pleasant sight. Stephen was being stoned, and he kneeled down and with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had fell asleep, when he had said this, he fell asleep. Do you know who was there and heard that? A young man named Saul. Do you think he ever forgot what Stephen said? Neither do I. What did Jesus say? Luke 23:34. When they were saying all manner of evil against him and his father, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When were they forgiven? That moment? Just a few days later, when Peter preached and those 3,000 said, "What shall we do?" For the remission of their sins, they repented and were baptized. Isn't that powerful? Is that how we should be? Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. Jesus said, not only do as I say, but do as I do. Indeed, he the great example is and pattern for Mo and for you. Romans 12, verse 17, beginning. Recompense or repay to no man evil for evil. Why did he say that? Because that is our tendency, isn't it? Well, you did this to me, I'll show you. And you know what? We don't get even. We go lower than what that person did to us. I remember in school, the big thing was you carrying a armload of books. There you go, bookload of arms. You got 12 or 9 books, and somebody come along and give you a little boost. And the floors were so slick, and there's 2,000 kids in the hallway, and they're kicking your books from one side. Oh, big time. Wasn't fun for you. You picking it up, trying to find all your books and get to class at the same time. I'll show you. I'll get you on the steps. I'll trip you on the steps. Say, I'll get even with you. Really? Is that what he said? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be what you ought to be. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You do your part whether they do or not. Okay? Okay, buddy, if that's the way it's going to be, I can fight just like you. I can fight dirty just like you. Is that what Jesus said? Go back to 5:44 and write down Matthew 5:44 by Romans 12:17 and 18. Verse 19, dearly beloved. You might write that to your girlfriend. Dearly beloved. If Paul, we were in Rome, or wherever. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't try to get even. But rather give place to under wrath. Give place under wrath. You know, they said Superman was a mild-mannered reporter. Well, what could disturb him? I mean, what couldn't he do? But you can feel wrath coming, can't you? You can feel it behind the wheel of your car sometime. You can feel it sitting at your computer when it doesn't do what it's about to do. You're internally hemorrhaging. Give place to wrath. You stay mad. Do you ever do anything smart when you're angry, Al? Again, me neither. Me neither. Give place. Step aside. Let that speeding locomotive go by. Don't try to stand in front of it. I'll show you. Mm-mm. God said don't do it. Why? Because Vince Mose. Well, that's my perversion, isn't it? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. If I get into the vengeance-seeking business, I will mess it all up. And so will you. You will be out of control. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. When is a man a fool? Therefore, because of what I've just said, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Then that's what I wanted to do in the first place. Big hot bucket of coals. Is that what he's talking about? No, by being kind to him, you will hurt him worse than if you had hit him with a hammer over the head or whatever. Can you hang with me just a minute and give you this illustration? Jesus did. The apostles did. I used to read all I could about Lou Gehrig, who played baseball with Babe Ruth. The Iron Man, whose record for 2,130 games or something like that wasn't broken until just a decade or so ago. First baseman on the New York Yankees, and the first baseman on the other team hit a slow roller. And so the ball was coming, and so was this runner down the base, and he took Lou Gehrig out, stepped on his foot with his spikes, steel spikes. Third out of the inning, Lou limped to the dugout, and they took his shoe off, which was full of blood. They taped him up, and in that bottom of that inning, it was his turn to bat. So he gets up to bat, and he hits a slow roller to the shortstop. It's going to be a bing-bang play at first base. If you're that first baseman, what are you thinking is going to happen? Start praying that this 6'2", 230-pound ball of muscle, who was very fast, he's just going to run over me. You know what Lou Gehrig did? Tagged the bag. He was out. The game ended. With all the managers and all the coaches of the New York Yankees and all the male writers of the day getting the reports and questions answered, double doors opened to that locker room. Do you want to guess who was there? The first baseman on that other team. In tears. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You want to heap coals of fire on somebody? Don't get even. They won't understand it. He came over to Lou's locker where he's sitting on the bench. And before all of those people, apologized. Would he have apologized if Lou had knocked his block off? He'd have felt better, wouldn't he? Think he did it again? Mm-mm. See what you can do by a good influence to your neighbor, to your co-worker, to somebody at school who treats you so mean, so harshly. You have the opportunity to do them evil. Don't do it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Is this song in your songbook? Others? Let's read the words. We're almost done. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep. Like we say, don't leave the handle sticking out of the hatchet. Bury the hatchet. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep. And all in vain may efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. Even your enemies. And you will see the better for it. The way to heaven means a change in lifestyle and habit. We must seek and set our affection on things that are above. Does the Bible tell us that? Why, sure it does. Matthew 5 and verse 19, Colossians 3, we'll get to there. Things are above. God. Jesus said, our Father which is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. That's where he went. Remember Acts 1:11 last night? Left with the clouds. 7:55, Jesus was standing on the right hand of God. That's what Stephen saw. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Then he said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit is there. There are three that bear record in heaven. And the saved in the Old and the New Testament. And our own dear brethren that we know. Mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles that were members of the church. For that great reward, that's what's there. I can't imagine it, can you? How great and awesome that reward is. And eternal life. Vacations, how long do they last? Even, well, we used to have, 3 months for summer break? Wow. About halfway through, Robert Hall, a store, clothing store in Peoria, Illinois, would come out with this clothing ad, back to school sale. I tore that thing out. Anything back to school, I didn't want to hear that. Heaven's not going to end, is it? What things should we look for? Things that won't be there. No death. Nobody. What if nobody died on earth? Would there be a lot of people here that you'd be glad that they were? Wow. In heaven, no death, no pain, no tears, no tears, no sorrow, none of those things, no wickedness. Don't have to have locks on your doors. Wouldn't that be something? Be a lot of people out of business, wouldn't it? Security alarm system. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, if you then be risen, chapter 2, verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Matthew 6, 33. You know this, you've heard it so often. You need to read the context. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness and all these things. You need to read the context and it'll tell you what all these things are. The things that we concerned about and worried about. Our food, our clothing. What's going to happen tomorrow? Don't worry about it. They'll be taken care of. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, about verse 6, 7 along in there, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He's already proven that, hadn't he? You can have the best of both worlds. Live the happiest here, not in regret, but then forever in heaven with the Lord. You can't be a lover of the world, can you? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 4, verse 16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Here's why you don't love the world, right here. And the world passeth away. If that's where your love is, it's going to perish. And everything you know is going to perish, as we mentioned last night. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you want the here and now, just for a brief period of time? Or do you want the forever? You cannot be a lover of the world. Demas was. Hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Moses wasn't, Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You're doing one or the other. You're choosing the pleasures of sin for a season, or you're choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. How are you doing? God knows. Choose you this day, Joshua said, 24, 15, whom you will serve. You're making a choice. Some made a choice tonight whether to come or not to come. World Series start tonight? I'm not sure. Is that what would keep you home? Oh, buddy. Because you couldn't deal. What? What are you choosing? I see what you've chosen tonight. Even in this inclement, cool weather, we choosing popularity, friends. Oh, I want my child to be popular in high school. Really? I graduated with 529, I've forgotten now, in my class. I don't know where one of them is. And you know what? They don't know where I am either. So important, though. Our treasures can't be on earth. You know what this passage said? We hinted at it a while ago. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Moth and rust corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. That's just three ways you can lose it. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. They won't be there, will they? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I asked a farmer one time, how do you get the cow and the calf, and the calf's born out in the field, how do you get them back in the barn? He said, you just take that little calf, put it over your shoulders, and wherever you go, that old mama will go. He said, you want to know why? Because that's her treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I've also seen that little calf being sold and taken off in a pickup truck when I was a little bitty boy. And that mama running down that fence line as far as she could go. And my granddad said, she's bawling. And so was I. For her little treasure. And so would you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Last chart. On the day of judgment, earthly treasures will be what? Lord, look what I've got. Donald Trump, Lord, look. Remember the rich man died and somebody leaned up forward in the funeral and said, how much did he leave? What's the answer? All of it. Bang. On the day of judgment, heavenly treasures will be priceless. Will it be worth it? Well, you think, some of you, a whole lot younger than I, hope to live as long as you have, Brother Hafley. Do you know that? A lot of my classmates have already died. Have a reunion and say, oh, did you know Phil died? Did you know Tom died? No. 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 Earthly treasures, where will they be? Heavenly treasures? Priceless. Where you want to go? What treasures have you chosen? And what will they be worth? Let's make our treasures in heaven, okay? And so we can live with the Lord who's shown us his love, and our Father likewise. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, many of us are, but if you have missed that, then you will miss heaven because you are a lost soul and the Lord died for you so that you could be with him when you comply to his will. You bend your will to his, be baptized into Christ even this very night. Or if you've done that and fallen away and need to respond and you need the prayers of the congregation, we'll be glad to pray for you. If that be your need, won't you come while we stand, while we sing.
If for the price we have paid.